Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
The text for tonight is John 17, 6 through 19. Here's the word of God. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and that they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world, so I have sent them to the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we need your name keeping us, guarding us. We are asking this time that your power and your nature, your love will be here present, revealing our identity that we belong to you. So would you please help us that we will receive your word as the living word that can revive our spirit. Please be with us, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 6, chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus said, yours they were and you gave them to me. Did you know that the Heavenly Father granted you to Christ? So now you belong to him. Verse 10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Christ finds glory in you. And verse 13, I speak these things that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He is pleased by you. So in the first place tonight, I want to see the close relationship between the person who is praying for us, Christ, and us. As we observe his prayer, we can find the intense relationship between Christ and us. If you are a man, how did you, or how will you propose to your lovely one? When a man makes a visit with the father of his beloved one, he must be convinced that he is willing to sacrifice or give up everything for her, or he should be ready to protect her at any cost. And only after he's convinced of it, he may go to the father of his beloved or lovely one. If I had just a daughter, and if a young man wants to marry my daughter, I'm going to ask one question to him. Are you ready to die for my daughter if you have to protect my daughter? And if he says yes, then I will say, prepare a most beautiful or pretty ring for my daughter. Let's think about a wedding day, or, you know, on the wedding day, normally the father walks down the aisle with his daughter, and the bridegroom is waiting at the front, and the father goes up to the front with his daughter, and the minister asks, who gives this young woman to this man? Then, you know, for a second, the father gets into a deep thought and thinking, am I making a mistake maybe? Or will this guy protect my daughter as I would do? Will this guy love my daughter as I would do? And finally, he has to say, here you are. Take my daughter. She's yours. Then bride, finally, is given to the bridegroom. Likewise, before the foundation of the world, our Heavenly Father granted us to Christ. But he was not hesitant, he was not reluctant to entrust us to Christ, because he knew that Christ is trustworthy. So here you are, they are your bride. Take her and protect her and save her. Our Heavenly Father's love for us is infinitely bigger than any earthly father's love for his daughter. Our Christ's love for us is infinitely stronger than any bridegroom's love for his fiance or bride. Did you know that you are the most precious present to Christ, because you are given to him by the Father? Christ loves the Father, and he's been granted you, and he takes it. You are the best present to him. All his care and love is for you. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. Verse 8, I have given them the words that you gave me, that they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Christ came to us and revealed to us what? He revealed to us, I am sent from the Father. I have permission from your Father that I would become your bridegroom. Oh, the fundamental truth that we are given in the gospel is that Christ reveals to us that he is sent from the Father and we must receive him as our bridegroom. Let's read verse 9. Christ is praying for you. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. So we have to realize his intense prayer for us. It is our bridegroom's prayer for his bride. I am, he said, he's praying exclusively for you. Isn't it a, you know, proof or evidence that he loves you, that he cares for you? Tonight, Christ is convincing you of his care or love for you. You are, don't forget that, you are his fiancé and you are his bride. So I want you to grasp this intense relationship between you and the person who is praying for you. If you love someone, isn't it natural that you want to know what the person, the beloved one, wishes for, what wants? Do you love Christ? Then don't you have to know what Christ wants for you? So in the second place for the sermon tonight, I want to see what Christ wants for you. And I want to encourage you to pray for them. So I made three prayer topics from the text. First, let's pray for our protection. That's what Christ is praying for you. Second, let's pray for our sanctification. That's what Christ is praying for you. Thirdly, let's pray for our glorifying Christ. Firstly, Christ prays that you will be protected by the Heavenly Father. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me. So Christ is about to leave, and he knows that he cannot be with us for a while. And we have to know that it is a heartbreaking experience for him to be set up, you know, to be apart from us. If only we grasp, if only we can grasp how much he cares for us, if only we can grasp how much he loves us, then you'll be understand. You'll be able to understand how devastating it is for Christ to leave us. The Father entrusted us to him. Now Christ is committing us to the Father again, because Christ knows that the Father is trustworthy and is almighty to protect us. And he says, keep them, Father, keep them in your name. What does it mean, in your name? It is kind of, it is a Bible expression. One's name means one's nature or one's power. So what Christ means is that, protect my bride in your power. So Christ knows that we are safe in the Father, because he knows that the Father will not fail to protect us. But Father, we not fail to preserve us, secure us, because His name is involved in our security. His whole nature is involved in protecting us. Christ claimed us as His possession. Also, the Father claims us His possession as His possession. So we are secure in His love. So we are secure in His power. But are you secure? Or do you know you are secure? This is verse 14 and 15. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. If you belong to Christ, the world will hate you. Your demeanors or your life views or your thought process is different from that of the world. The world is offended by you. The world wants to get rid of you. So are you aware of its hatred? If yes, how could we not pray for our security, protection from the world or temptations or the evil one? We memorize this psalm and we are very aware of it. Let me read again. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But the question is that, are you experiencing this God's protection for you, like this Psalm 23? Are you experiencing in your daily lives that God is protecting you? So is my challenging for you or my request, or I don't know. I want you to pray for your protection. Christ, even Christ prays for your security. You are weak. We are weak. So we have to pray every day, Lord, please protect us, preserve us from our temptations, from the evil one. That's your prayer topic for this coming week. First prayer topic. Now, secondly, let's move on to the second one. We should pray for our sanctification. That's what Christ prays for us. Verse 19, for their sake I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I don't know, the different Bibles, you know, have translated this verse differently. The Greek word for consecrate here is actually the same word for sanctify there. So it should be translated, in my opinion, like this. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So first of all, let's pay attention to Christ's words that He sanctifies Himself. Oh, it's an interesting statement. Does Christ have some moral blemishes? I mean, does Christ have to repent of his sins? No. Then what does it mean when he says he has to sanctify himself? Shortly, according to the biblical concept, to be sanctified means to be set apart for one purpose. To be sanctified means to be single-minded for one purpose. So actually what Christ means is that He sets Himself apart for one purpose. then what is the purpose? I interpret, I understand it to be his union with us or our salvation. We can find a clue for this in verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world exists. Before the world, before the foundation of the world, he let go of his glory in order to save us. He set apart himself to achieve us. Before the foundation of the world, Christ saw that God's people are in eternal damnation. God's people are in the penalty of their sin. And Christ read the Father's heart. He knew that the Father loves them. Moreover, Christ himself loves God's people. So he had to say voluntarily, Father, grant me your people as my bride. I am willing to lay down my life for them. I am ready to die for them. Give them, entrust them to me. I will save them. He died for us. He died for your sins. That's how Christ set himself apart for us. What about you? Christ said, I set myself apart so that we become sanctified. Well, we set ourselves apart for him. So what about you? Are you single-minded for Christ? Are you living for Christ? He died for you so that you will be faithful to him. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 19, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So here's the clue. We can be sanctified, or the word of God teaches us how to be sanctified. The word of God teaches us how to set ourselves apart for Christ. So I think it is a legitimate question. How is it going with your, feeding on the Bible? Are you feeding on the Word of God consistently? Or are you starving for your spiritual food? It is one thing actually that, to acknowledge the Bible is the Word of God and it is very important for us. But actually it is totally another thing to live under the power of the Word of God. So is the Word of God, is the Bible the controlling principles for your life? You can check yourself. Is the Word of God guiding you or motivating you as your controlling principles, life principles? So, secondly, I want you to pray for your sanctification with the Word of God. I want you to pray, actually, for your thirst for His Word. And go to the Word and pray upon the Word. You must be sanctified. Lastly, or thirdly, we should pray that we will glorify God in our daily lives. Verse 10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. The Bible teaches us that we are not capable of pleasing God, and we are totally depraved. But Christ says, I am glorified in them. For me, it's really a staggering truth. Christ doesn't say that I am glorified in them when they are living a godly life. He didn't say it like that. Also, Christ doesn't say that I will not be glorified in them when they live according to their sinful nature. He just simply says, I am glorified in them. Why? In his eyes, you are precious to him. Regardless, kind of at the risk of being misunderstood, regardless of your works or good things or bad things, you are already he's already glorified in you because you belong to him. You are his possession. Did you know that Christ is glorified in you? Don't forget that you are his glory because you have been bought by his blood. Does it make sense? You are precious because he gave himself up to achieve you. So as his bride, you are already glorious to him in his mercy. All your blunders, mistakes, or sins are covered by his blood, and he considers you to be glorious. Let me quote one sentence. It is John Piper's words. He is a Reformed Baptist. It is his life theme, actually, statement. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Well, he made it very good. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So I want you to appreciate his love for you. I want you to pray that you would comprehend his love for you and you would be satisfied fully in his love for you, that he's glorified in your satisfaction in him. Nevertheless, not only should we glorify Christ passively, we also should glorify God actively. We can glorify God by bearing much fruit as we abide in Christ. Also, we can glorify God by, you know, keeping the Ten Commandments. We can glorify God by living according to the desires of the Holy Spirit. But tonight, I simply want to challenge you to glorify God actively by your prayer life. I'm actually very curious about your prayer life, dear brothers and sisters. How was your prayer life this week? Did you pray that God's glory would be revealed in your heart? Did his glory reveal your sins, and did you repent? Did his glory bring in the presence of Christ in your heart? This coming week, I want to challenge you to pray, not just pray at the dinner table or lunch table or something, separately, you know, personally. I want you to pray at least 15 minutes every day, apart from your studying the Bible, apart from reading the Bible. Is it too short? Oh, maybe 30 minutes every day, or one hour. Without praying, actually you cannot understand His word. You cannot digest His word in your heart. Are you alive spiritually? Then how can you not pray? If you stop praying, even one day, your spiritual aliveness is going down. So it's my last challenge. I want you to pray every day. I want you to pray upon the word of God and ask Him, Lord, teach me how to glorify You. What should I do? I want to sanctify You. Please come to me and make real Your presence in me. My faith shouldn't be just a conceptual knowledge, in my head knowledge. It should be my life. It should be the center of my whole life. He loves you. Is it not enough to motivate you to pray? He died for you. Is it not enough to motivate you to pray, to come to Him and die, you know, converse with Him? He's waiting. I'm confident. I'm 100% confident that He's waiting for you to come to Him. He will be most pleased when you come to Him with your prayer request. Dear Cedar Church, what is your glory? Your glory is Christ. At the same time, I want you to know that you are His glory because you have been bought by His life. You have been bought by His blood. You are His glory. Take it humbly, even though it's a staggering truth, but be astonished by His love. I want to close the sermon tonight with the Apostle Paul's words. It is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Christ loved the church. Christ loves you and gave Himself for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church, or He might present you, is very important, to Himself in splendor, in glory. That's what your bridegroom is doing. He presents you to Himself in splendor, in glory, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy without blemish. Christ is your faithful bridegroom, will not fail to present you to Himself, to the Father, glorious in splendor. You must understand.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.
And how precious you are. Let's pray.